Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Inside Your Business on Kaya Biz.
Inside Your Business is brought to you by iWise, empowering you to make a wise insurance choice for your car, home, life, and more.
10 minutes to 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959, Inside Your Business. A moment ago, I was speaking to a representative of the JSC around that company or various listing requirements. And I spoke about a company that's listed on the Alternative Stock Exchange, Psilocybin. Yes, they focus on biotech and pharmaceutical methods, largely focus on, again, business fundamentally based on the use or rather products that might be CBD focused following the legalization of marijuana for personal use just a few years ago in South Africa. So that's just the name I wanted to get through, Psilocybin. Well, we're shifting gears now to get inside your business, and this time around, taking a look at how retailers can make sure they have enough stock. So it's what, June? In a few months' time, it will be November, where we'll be celebrating Black Friday and the rush of many South Africans making their way to stores to purchase big-ticket items that will largely be discounted. Following that, it will certainly be the silly season or festive season, where we as South Africans are known to make quite significant purchases for the holiday period. And after that, back to school in January, where grey socks, white shirts and grey trousers are the name of the game, with many purchases taking place there as many children return or start their journey and schooling career. Well, have you ever wondered what happens from a supply chain point of view to make sure that retailers are adequately stocked and prepared for these varying periods of the year? Well, Dylan Govender, Head of Supply Chain at Investec for Business, knows all about this. Dylan, you have a very intriguing job because you essentially help businesses prepare for the future, right, when it comes to supply chain. And there's some key observations that you've made regarding this.
Good evening, Google Ledger, and thank you for having me on the show.
Fantastic.
If we look at global supply chain, massive disruption has been brought about just by the attacks in the Red Sea. So to put that into context, if we look at trade lanes, example, goods moving from the Europe region into the Asia region, previously they will be routed via the Suez Canal, go through the Red Sea, and then into Asia. Now with those attacks, for safety of seafarers, we're seeing carriers route vessels around the tip of Africa. And this is leading to an additional 3-week transit time for that trade line specifically.
Whoa.
So it's leading to a lot of congestion, and in order to ease the congestion on a profitable trade lane like Europe to Asia, we see carriers removing bigger vehicles from the Asia to SA trade lane and moving them into the Europe trade lane, so just to ease the congestion there. So that's creating capacity constraints into goods coming from Asia to South Africa, which is the largest trade lane for South Africa itself. And we're seeing the ripple effects in terms of the congestion building up, the delays in sailing, the blank sailing due to these capacity constraints. So what we're seeing in the market at the moment, just for cargo moving from Asia, from China into South Africa, we're seeing a 4-week delay just in order to get goods on board a vessel, you know, because of this, so much of congestion. The 4-week delay in terms of sailing from Asia to SA, and another 2-week delay based on the congestion that we have within our South African ports as well. So total 10 weeks to get goods here. And like you said, we entering July now. That Friday is not so far away if we think about a 10-week delay just for the sailing time.
This is so interesting, Dylan, because as you mentioned, this one would think, well, 3 weeks is not so bad. But if you add another 4 weeks and the 2 weeks that you mentioned, it all adds up and can be quite substantial, where 10 weeks delay can have disastrous ripple effects for businesses. So help us understand how important then it is for businesses that happen to import stock from these international markets. Planning, what should the planning window look like, and how can businesses plan effectively?
You know, there's a lot that this entails. I mean, it's not just the 10-week delay that we're talking about. If we look at the actual supply manufacturing of these goods, let's add on another 4 weeks just for the production of these goods. Sure. You've got the outlay of the capital in terms of to get the suppliers to start manufacturing. You have to lay down deposits. You know, and once those goods are placed on board a vessel, you generally have to pay the balance to the supplier in order to keep the production running. So let's call it about 14 to 15 weeks in terms of transit time. Black Friday is about 16 weeks away, if we do the math. And then you've got your working capital that's tied up.
Mm.
So you've got funds that's laid out. And to turn that into sales towards the end of the year, that lead time is just so extended. So I mean, it's extremely important that you have the right working capital solution around these products. And then you're partnering with the correct people that's understanding how to finance these products and make sure you're able to turn it into profit.
Mm.
And that's what we're here to do as Investec, specializing in the logistics industry as well.
This is so important, Dylan, because I'm assuming that without recognizing and avoiding these particular mistakes or challenges, one could find themselves in a predicament we saw during the pandemic, right? No working capital, low cash flow, and of course, ongoing delays, which just leads to your business, unfortunately, feeling pressure.
You know, my personal opinion is this is worse than the pandemic, because during the pandemic, you had manufacturing stopped on a global level. Right now, manufacturing is still continuing, and that congestion is building up at ports. And if importers are not acting at the right time, which is now, you're going to lose that brand reputation in the market during Black Friday, during your Christmas sale. You're going to have loss of the competitive advantage. You're going to have customer dissatisfaction.
Mm.
You know, so importers need to relook at how they're planning their supply chain at this stage.
Is it too soon, Dylan, to expect any kind of relief at the ports, given the recent rankings that we saw from the World Bank?
I mean, we're seeing, my personal opinion is we seem to be on the right path. We're seeing improvement on transit. We're seeing new equipment coming in. You know, but this is not just an SA issue. This is a global supply chain issue. And if things don't change in the Red Sea, which doesn't look to be happening anytime soon, this is going to continue well into the year and into early 2025.
My goodness, this is quite concerning. So if you are a business in retail, focus on particular stocks. One would be in a more favorable position, I guess, if you adequately plan 10 weeks in advance or more for the necessary retail holidays that are coming up. Am I understanding you correctly?
100% correct. And partnering with the correct working capital partners.
Let's talk working capital, because as you say, if you're dealing with the ports and imported products, the currency also plays a role here. And over the last few weeks, post the elections, Dylan, there's been some interesting gyrations of the rand, which also plays an influence on hedging strategies.
Yes, definitely. I mean, the rand is strengthening. We're seeing positivity throughout the market. But I think with the delays, and then especially when it comes to working capital, you're only able to turn that working capital into cash when you're reselling the products. And with these delays that we're seeing, and the port delays, and the sailing delays, it's not looking very positive for importers at this stage.
Definitely. Dylan, this is really critical that we pay attention to it. And I guess we'll see the outcomes of those who have planned adequately versus those who haven't in the months and the weeks to come. But if I'm an entrepreneur, as you've mentioned, plan accordingly, have the necessary working capital in place. But are there other nuances and solutions that can also be implemented?
There's no quicker transit time in South Africa. Time is the sailing time. You know, alternatively, importers are going to look at air freight, which is going to cost a lot more. So you're minimizing your profit margins by taking a loss just to have brand visibility into the country. I think it's more about, you know, partnering with the right company that's going to walk the journey with you, somebody that's understanding the logistics aspects and the delays that's in the market, somebody that's going to extend your payment terms and work that capital for you. And I think that understanding and that partnering is the most important thing.
Definitely. Ooh, so definitely looks like air cargo is just a lot more expensive, a lot more tricky to navigate. And as you say, sea is typically the easier way to get product in. Dylan, you have a very intriguing job, sir. I think if we see any retailers with a few shortages, I'll be able to identify what might have gone wrong, given the insight you've given us today.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you. That's Dylan Govender, Head of Supply Chain at Investec for Business, helping us understand how it is that retailers need to stay ahead of the game by adequately planning four key holidays and festive trades that we look to see. We mentioned Black Friday coming up, the festive season, the Christmas shopping spending, and of course, back to school next year. And as you've heard Dylan mention, typically you need to start planning at least 10 to 16 weeks in advance. because of the delays and, of course, the backlog that we're witnessing. I hope this gives us a very fresh and new perspective around how hard it is that retail companies actually work to make sure we have the right stock in place. Remember last year, or perhaps it might have been the year before, where we were told that the ongoing delays in the Suez Canal and supply chain environment on the back of the Russia-Ukraine crisis and the pandemic were wreaking havoc. And that actually was evidenced when you look at a few retail stores and some companies like Woolworths, Mr. Price, actually commented on how this impacted their fashion outlets, where they literally got winter clothing way too late and it started warming up in South Africa, so they couldn't move that stock. The summer clothing and stock, yes, might have come a little bit late and slightly out of season, but I guess given that South Africa is a slightly warmer country, they were able to move some of that stock. So it really becomes practical. So if you're not seeing the things and the items you desire on the shelves of some of your favorite retailers at the moment, maybe just pause. Take into consideration that perhaps the supply chain dynamics have impacted their product outlay. Interesting times, right? I'm Gugulethu Mfuphi. We are set to journey for the next hour of All Things Business and Talk. But just a quick refresher of a few conversations we hosted in the last hour. We certainly spoke around the implications of short-term insurance and complaints that we as customers have against insurance providers, and then perhaps decide to go to the ombudsman, which you legally can do should you reach a point where there's a clear disagreement and discontent that you have with your insurance provider. And one of the outcomes we spoke about with Peter Nguna, who represents the Ombudsman for Short-Term Insurance, gave us some clarity on the fact that sometimes as consumers and as customers, there's a lack of disclosure, lack of transparency, and of course, even understanding the finer detail of the kind of cover we take on, leading to the claims not being successful when it comes to the claims process. And one of our listeners has shared a tweet with us, Khonsi. Khonsi says, "Hi, Kuku. Very interesting topic. I experienced car jamming whereby my tablet was under the driver's seat. When I lodged the claim, the insurer advised that there was no forced entry into the car. Please pose this question to the ombudsman." And I think that's a very valid point that you mentioned there, Khonsi. Unfortunately, we will touch base with the ombudsman again in future just to see what kind of feedback we can give you. And that does potentially speak to the fact that the cover was not, or the claim was not successful because of the detail surrounding the nature of the theft and that there wasn't any forced entry. And sometimes, quite literally all the time with insurance, the devil is in the detail. Understanding what it is that the client or insurance company would take on as risk and would evaluate from there. So sometimes forced entry is one of those themes that is a priority that needs to be, I guess, reviewed. But this is why we have these conversations. This is why the Ombudsman's office does exist, and where you can also solicit feedback, outcomes, support, and clarity on where things might have gone wrong. Speaking of clarity, this is where I get excited because we get to speak to you. But you can do one better and speak to us. Share your thoughts, your feedback, your questions, and of course, probe the minds of the experts that we speak to. And tonight, on Legally Speaking, we're going to speak about a theme that sits very close to the hearts of many South Africans: debt review. We're well aware high interest rates, high inflation have put a lot of us under pressure to such an extent that at times it's difficult to actually pay back what you owe to your credit providers. And this is where the process of debt review can be instituted. Well, we've previously heard from the CEO of Capitec, Gerry Fourie, who said that the process of debt review is being adopted quite frequently by South Africans, but it is being abused. We thought we'd not only get your thoughts, but also speak to an industry expert to get some detail on this. So if you have any questions around debt review, want to understand how to adequately use it and responsibly so, and perhaps if you have abused the process and are looking for a way of correcting your actions.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.